not Mark.
Ron.
Ron.
Come on.
Whatever. We still honor you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Well, as most of you know, I've been going to church here for about probably 25 years, and I've been involved with the Mexico ministry down in the Tecate area for about 34. And, you know, it's just what the Lord has done down in Mexico. And I know he's done it all over, but through our ministry, it's just been amazing. And so I just want to let you know that Deborah used to live here in Bishop. She's been down in Mexico about 6 years permanently, and her and her husband, Frank. And we have a great team down there. Besides them, we have a great team. They're doing a ton of good work down there. She's going to tell you about it. But anytime you guys think about Mexico, think about to Mexico with love. Pray for Frank Endeavor and the team down there, because they're doing just a ton of good work down there. And, well, you know, this coronavirus thing has kind of messed a lot of stuff up. But they're getting things done down in Mexico City. That you don't have to worry about. And about every 6 weeks, Deborah and I, Sharon and I, meet Deborah down at Four Corners, Highway 58 and 395. And we got a couple of organizations in Bishop that donate us food. So we meet down there, and I just give her a bunch of food, and she goes back to Mexico. And we have a storage area in Tecate, California, so she can dump it off there, put it off there, and then come pick it up at her leisure. And so we've been able to get food down there, been able to get a few things.
Coffee
yeah. And anyway, you know, where things are still going fairly well. And but anyway, the main thing that we would like is your prayers. And I'm going to turn this over to Deborah so she can tell you exactly what's going on, what they're doing down there. And I'll tell you, they're doing amazing things. And it's just a blessing to be part of God's ministry in Mexico, because it's his ministry. And we pray to him. We ask for direction and guidance. We try to do what the Lord puts in our heart to do. So anyway, here's Deborah.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
It's good. It's good for me not to have a translator. I can talk faster and say more stuff. So I was going to say something totally different. And when I got here and Jack said we had a little bit more time, and I saw all the familiar faces and some faces that I don't know, I wanted to just give a brief part of my testimony. So, like Ron says, I went down to Mexico 6 years ago, but prior to that, the Lord has saved me, delivered me, and set me free from a drug and alcohol addiction. It's been 10 years clean and sober. Mm-hmm. And so many of you knew me when I was just learning about the Lord. I had just started my walk. And I was at a Bible study at Steve and Judy's house, the Herzogs, right? Yeah. And so many guys were familiar. You guys are so familiar. And everybody saw me. I practically crawled into that Bible study and said, Lord, here I am. What can you do? And I said, I'm willing to serve. And I said, I want to go and I'm ready to go. Although I was working at the care center and I was serving the Lord and I was helping with the elderly, but I wanted to do more. And so in 2013, I went with Ron I only wanted to hand out blankets. I just wanted to go to Mexico to hand out blankets because I wanted to just serve, and then I would come back to my life. And then the Lord just planted in my heart that I wanted to move to Mexico. And so I told a couple people, and they're like, are you sure this is what you want to do? With no Spanish. And I was, I think, 47 at the time. And so I quit my job. I sold all my stuff, which wasn't very much because I was already downsized into a travel trailer, and moved to Mexico, and I volunteered in an orphanage for 15 months, and then I fell in love with one of our translators and got married. And so we're down there serving the Lord together. And so the Lord gave me this psalm that I wanted to share with you guys. It's the first part of Psalm 40, and it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. You guys, I was in a pit. The bottomless pit of despair is what I called it. I didn't even know it was biblical at that time, but that's what I had said. And then out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. And he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. And this is the new song, you guys. He has blessed this ministry, us being down there. I started off at an orphanage, and then after I married Frank, I went out into the rural area that just so happened that Frank owned a piece of property in the same exact area that Ron had been ministering for 30 years, just a coincidence like that. And then so we moved into there in a little tiny brick room. Just got the bathroom. We just got a bathroom, so praise God. And yeah, I mean, we've been doing a dry cabin for 5 years. But we've been serving in that area, and the Lord rescued Frank from the landfill. And previously, I had seen a video of Heidi Baker, and she was going into the landfills, and I was like, Lord, I want to go into the landfills. But this is when I was brand new sober. And he's like, yeah, okay. And not only are you going to go into the landfills, you're going to marry someone that used to live in the landfill. So then you guys are going to have direct access. So we go into the Tijuana landfill. It's like twice a month now. And so it's been a huge blessing. I just want to talk a little bit about what the ministry is doing. And this is post-COVID. So prior to COVID, we had a whole bunch of people that were working with us, like close to 30 people. And now pretty much, except for maybe five to seven adults, everyone else has dwindled away. So we're still getting all the work done. But what we started to do was I had some time on my hands. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to teach English to the kids in the neighborhood. So we started rounding up the kids in the neighborhood because we've been there 5 years, so they trust us, so they just give us their kids. They're like, what, you're going to take our kids and feed them and teach them English? Take them. So we're meeting outside of our house. I'm teaching English once a week. It's called Total Physical Response. It's like a through actions. So they're picking it up. They're so, so, so smart. And we had them start helping us with sandwiches because we give out sandwiches at the landfill. So they helped us make 100 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I was praying to the Lord, Lord, we need a team, Lord. You know, I need a team of people to go to the landfill with us. And he said, there's your team. So the parents let us take 6 of their kids, ages 8 to 12, to the landfill. And so they got to do, I'm getting the goosebumps because we've been there so many times, and this was the most rewarding time because they did the follow through of making the sandwiches and then actually going into the area. And with Frank as our guide, since he knows some of the people still live there 12 years later that he knew, they let us into the areas where they don't let groups. And they see all these guys coming out of these makeshift tents, you know, grungy. I don't know if they were on drugs or not on drugs, but they see this passel of kids wanting to give them stuff. And they were like, what is going on? And we were like, God bless you. This is in the name of Jesus. Jesus sent us here to tell you he loves you and we want to give you some food. And it was very impactful. Needless to say. Anyway, so that's my little team. I have like 6 kids. They're ages 8 to 12 that come with us now, and they're helping us. And so we're building relationships. And at the English class, it's not just English. We talk about Jesus, and we teach him to pray. We had a worship service where we had flags. And Donna Smalley from the River Church came down and flagged. And all the kids had flags. And everybody was out in our yard just flagging and worshiping the Lord. They're so receptive, and they're so innocent, and they're so pure, and it's just, it's a great team. So, anyway, we're still doing the food bags for the elderly. I saw the video when I was here last year. Last year, we started with 15. Now, we're up to 30. And so, through the donations, through the people that donate in Bishop, and through Ron meeting me halfway, I fill up the Subaru to the top and then take it to the storage unit. And then, because I can only cross a little bit at a time, if it's too much, you have to pay taxes. So I wait in line, I cross over, I get the food, I take it back, and that's how we do it. And we make the bags every month. We give them food. So sometimes it's a lot and sometimes it's a little, but it's always something. And it's all done in the name of Jesus. So they all know that the Lord is good and that he hasn't forgotten them. So, gosh, let's see what else I have here. That's a lot right now, huh? That's good. Another thing that we wanted to start doing that the Lord placed on our heart was, and it's not very expensive either, but we run into these people at the landfill that have injuries, because there is a doctor that goes there once a week, but if it's too advanced for him, he'll tell them to see a specialist. But they can't see a specialist because they don't have identification and they don't have a birth certificate and they don't have a ride. They can get insurance because it's like a socialized insurance, but they need their paperwork. So there's two ladies right now that we're in the process of helping. One lady has her eyeball that has got into her head because metal got in it, and another lady has some type of iron sticking out of her legs. So I'm like, Lord, you know, I don't know that scripture, but the one in the Bible that says where you see someone in need and you just say, God bless you, and walk away. I don't want to be that person. So what can we do, Lord? And he said, help them get their paperwork. So we have a lady that's working with us to help us to help them to get their paperwork so that they can see a doctor. So God's moving, and all you guys have played a part in it. These faces that I'm seeing, you guys, I mean, it's all because of the Lord, too. Because if I hadn't have said yes and been willing, and he hadn't intervened and taken my life, which was a mess, I mean, a literal mess, and now my mess has turned into a message. And I guess that's it. Ron said to tell you guys, if you want to donate, just write the checks out to Church on the Mountain and then Mexico in the little memo, because we have some of the donations to the ministry to Mexico Would Love have fallen down because of the virus, and the prices to the beans and rice have gone up because of the virus, the darn virus. But we are... yeah, we're still working, and we love you guys, and I'm so happy to be here. Ron wants to talk, and Ron wants to talk. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you. You know, the Lord just put in our heart to do what he wants us to do down in Mexico. They're doing, Frank, her husband, is unreal. He's just so cool.
Pictures on the back laptop. Okay. If you want.
There's a laptop back there on the table. We thought we were going to meet outside, so we didn't have any pictures. But she has a laptop, some rolling pictures there of the food bags we give out and the different people and the English class and all that stuff. If you guys just want to stop there and look at it, that's fine. But her husband, Frank, he's a miracle. He's just such a blessed guy. You know, and I was so involved in their relationship before they got married. You know, they did everything godly. As an example to the young ladies and to the young men down there in Mexico, it's very important, and I want to bring it out. They did everything, just godly, the relationship and everything. And I was involved in that. I was the best man at her wedding. They both come and ask me, Ron, we want, and I gave her away. And Ron, is it okay if I marry Deborah and Deborah, you know? And it was just so cool. But, you know, there's just so much good stuff going on down there through this ministry. It really is. And once this COVID stuff gets over with, I want to get a couple groups from here and go down, okay? I haven't been down since February, just my age and different things going on. And so I'm kind of sitting back a little bit. We're in contact all the time. We meet. We take food. And hopefully at Christmas time, we're going to do our annual Christmas party again this year. And last year, we fed over 250 people. And we gave out blankets to families. We gave out hats. We gave out gloves to everybody, kids and everybody, and some toys for the little kids. And, you know, I mean, we put on a good meal. We did chicken. We did rice. We did beans. And this, we're probably going to have to be outside this year. We rented a place last year, but there's some areas outside that we can do, be safe and everything. And we're going to have a good meal for them and everything. And a lot of we had, I don't know, 17 or 18 churches come last year. And I think 11 or 12 kind of participated. But some of these people, they don't get to meet other people 3 or 4 or 5 miles from where they live because they don't drive and different things like that. So it's a good chance for them to socialize. And we usually have a praise and worship band. We have a couple testimonies, and it's really cool. So as it gets closer to Christmas, I'll let you guys know how you can be part of that and how you can help. But I just, you know, it's just so amazing to do God's work down there. And I really would like some of you people that have never been down to come down, you know, probably first of next year or something. But it's amazing what her and Frank do down there. And the team that we have down there is amazing. It's shrunk a little bit. It's still amazing. And normally, We used to make 250 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, get water, take them out there, and the teams would divide up. People that were bilingual, Frank would take one team. Layman, the guy that was here last year with his wife and family from Mexico, he takes another team, and they go to the same area every time they go down. So they're actually starting to make relationships with these people. And most of the people want prayer. We do give them some food and some water, and sometimes we have clothes and stuff we'll give them, but we want a relationship with these people. And it was so amazing, and she mentioned, Frank's been gone 12 years, and he knows people there. That's how long some of these people have been there. That's their life. That's where they're going to stay. So anyway, that's what we're doing. That's what's going on down there. And anyway, we thank you guys for your support. Also, we get support from the River Church and Bishop, and also from the First Presbyterian Church and Bishop. Both of those churches are a part of our ministry, and the neighborhood church also. So we're getting support from other churches also. It's just not Church on the Mountain. Okay, guys? Okay. Thank you for having us, okay? And if any of you want to get together with Deborah or something, she's going to be here for a couple of weeks. So get a hold of her and go from there.
Thanks, Jack. Yeah, thank you guys. Let's give them a hand. They've been in the trip. So come on. All right, testimony time. But first, I made some shirts. God put this on my heart. Maybe was it 2 years ago? A year and a half ago? Maybe, I don't know. But it's a women medium. If you guys, who wants it? Come on. Nobody? Come on. Somebody did. It's... All right. Sir. Here. Oh, but I'll give you one, too. So I'll give you one. But it's just, it's a heart posture. It's about worshiping the Lord all the time. And so it's we have to war for that place. The keys, dude? Where's my key guy? My key. I gotta see my testimony. It's hard for me to speak, so he's going to help me out a little bit. I have a so come on. So my testimony, a little bit, it was in 2010, and so I was a partier. I was doing everything for the world, and for me, I remember it was this one night. I walked from the bar, and God was encountering me because I leave crying, right? Because I that was my family. You know, I felt like I didn't have one. And so I would go to the bar and meet my family, you know, and so bear with me. Come on. Testimony means do it again, Lord. Come on. So I used to meet with this family that I thought was my family. And I would get my identity in fighting, right? Well, God, he put justice in my heart. But I used it in the world as a bad, the other side of the justice coin. And so I would get my identity in people fearing me. Man. And so... God uses us. So I'm walking home from the bar one night, going to get some cocaine. Whew. And I'm waiting on the deal to happen. And next thing you know, the next day I'm getting woke up by the cops. I got blood everywhere, my shirt's off, and I have no bone in my face. Blunt head trauma. They called me in dead. It changed my life forever, guys. Right there. A broken man trying to find his way in a hard world. And busted face, head trauma. They thought I was dead. That literally changed my life forever. I had the worst PTSD after that, waking up in sweat. Thanks. Waking up in sweat. I mean, it still affects me to this day, but just, man, they had me on this medication that would just make me a zombie. And I said, God, there's got to be more. I used to be a bubbly guy. I used to like to talk to people. And now I don't. And I would avoid them. Man. Broken kid. Trying to find himself in all these wrong things. God spared my life that night. A drug deal, man. Messed up. Looking for love, man, in all the wrong places. My wife at the time, she couldn't handle it. I would wake up, sweat, felt like I peed the bed, but it was just sweat. Emotionally, I couldn't be in a store. I had to run out. I went to Iraq. I felt at home because these people dealt with the same stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you what. It was that hard journey of after that, I would have to be so drunk just to even be in a bar. I would have to have 10 beers just to be around people. And I got to the point where I was just passing out at various places. Messed up. God still had grace, man. He knew the call, and he never gave up on me, man. And I gave, like, so my first marriage ended in divorce. I had so many emotional issues and felt like everybody was trying to, you know, out to get me. And then I got my second DUI in Florida. I went to Florida to run away from the problems in Nevada. I left my daughter there, which, man, broke my heart. But all I know is at that point where I said, man, Lord, I'm doing the same thing my dad did, my real dad. And so I just want to say, with all that being said, man, I don't take any medication. I've been free from it, you know, for, 8 years. But, man, it's been a struggle, man, still. How many know that Moses didn't want to talk? And how many know that God uses you in your weakest form, right? We boast in our weakness so God gets the glory. It's not about us. Come on. So if you see that I get up here a lot and I'm pushing myself out because I know this is what God wants, to walk through this. And I think, you know, being raw and real, there's people with anxiety today, right now, with Corona and all that's happening. It's hard for people, man. But I just want to encourage you that God uses you in your weakest form because it gives him the glory. So here I am. I met an awesome wife. She's my prayer warrior. You know, we're stronger together. And so, you know, bless her heart. She's God's still healing it. I mean, it's not a... I've had tons of prayer, and it's little steps, right? This is one of them. I could never do this before. I would be so sweating. I'd feel like I was going to pass out. I couldn't gasp my breath. I couldn't, you know, catch up to breathing. I would be, like, hyperventilating, dude. And so this is awesome. God's just doing a work. And so I just want to boast in my weakness. And just, you know, the whole deal about, you know, Crowley, I had a job, and God sent me here. God showed me while I was working at Trump National as a pipe fitter. Before the election, I was just praying in tongues. This is after the DUI. God captivated me. You know, Rick Joyner's church, somebody said, man, give God an hour of prayer a night and watch and see what he does. Because I'm like, dude, that's a cool testimony. I want one. But I didn't know who he was. I thought, you know, just going to church once a week was good enough. So as I started meeting with him, and man, he just encountered me with his love. I would be at work crying 8 hours a day, dude, in his love. And that's what healed me. I mean, too bad it's not like that. As we mature, we don't, you know, I wish I was like that all the time. And I think, you know, I was praying, Lord, I want this, but he's like, I got more for you, right? But so like, man, I would just be like bawling out. Everybody's like, are you all right, dude? Man, just Jesus, man, he's good. And I remember working at Trump, and I'm asking God, I'm like, where do I go from here? I'm way far from my daughter. And he said, I want you to buy a one-way ticket to Crowley. I said, for real? I was there when I was 19, right? And so, you know, but I was like, I don't know about that, man. It's He's like, do you trust me? I said, all right. I mean, you know, at this time, I was just laughing, nervous laugh, right? I was like, I don't know. So I did. I went that night, and then I went to a conference in Orlando. I got back that weekend. I got a call from Mike. He said, man, God showed me that you're coming here. And he confirmed it. It gave me so much peace because I'm like, I finally seen God. Once you counter God, like, you can't go back to the counterfeit. And so, man, here I am, dude. I'm at the lodge. People are like, why'd you just show up, man? You don't have a job? I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm on a journey, man. And I got into property management. It didn't work out at first. They called me back and said, all right, we got the job for you. This guy backed out. It never happens. I mean, that's my business to this day, property management. God knew what he was doing. The only way I could have lived here because I was paying child support was to have a free house in property management, right? So this is how he works. So I'm working at a property in Mammoth, and Michael Dalton said, hey, he kept saying, hey, you're going to have business. I'm like, business? What are you talking about? Like, I'm not going to have a business. He's like, well, I see you in board meetings. I'm like, yeah, because I'm a property manager, right? So I was like, okay. And so I just kept it in my back pocket. Like, Lord, is that for me? And I married my wife and at this place. And then this other property management company offered me a job. Man, we love what you're doing here, and we want to offer you this and that. And would you come? And I told my wife, I don't know. I'm too comfortable, right? How many times we could get in that place in the Christian walk, and it causes us to miss God. And so my wife said, she said, don't go around the mountain. I said, come on, babe, that's harsh. She said, if you don't do it, you're going to go around the mountain. These are happy tears. So I went and I branched out and I was nervous. I said, Lord, how's this going to work? And I'm working for someone else now. I'm not going to be my own boss. And I went there. I did a good job. And the guy didn't do what he said. Sometimes it gets so bad that God forces you into your destiny. That's how he works. You never miss it. He won't let you miss it. Look at Lot. He spared Lot, right? So, I mean, if you look all through history, don't feel like you're going to miss God because he's going to show up. You're gonna get there one way or another. And so God's, like, was showing us the lodge, and we're like, what? Like, I have to pay child support. If I go in, like, now it's no joke. If you don't pay, they take your license after $1,000 behind. My dad never paid, and nothing happened. But that's how it goes now. And so I'm like, Lord, we're really trusting you. My wife said, I said, I can't leave, babe. And she said, no, God. So we started the business there when we were working for the property. And I was like, well, I felt like it's time now, babe. And so we did it. And then I was nervous. Like, if he finds out that we started it, he's going to fire us. This conflict of interest. So we started cleaning. That kind of got us by. And we were cleaning units to get us by. And God provided, you know, on the side, my wife was doing it. I was still working there. God kept saying the lodge, showing the lodge. And we went down with Pastor Mike and Heather, which is, man, he's an awesome guy, friend. And we went down there, and he goes, man, God's showing me that you guys are going to move at the lodge. And he's like, well, he's showing us too. We didn't say anything, right? So, man, these connections are awesome, right? So here we are. We said, babe, all right, is it, you know? So I gave my job a 3-month notice, you know, because it was in the middle of winter and we did snow removal. And, man, it was a hard move because I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to, like, we're just going to solely be on cleans, like cleaning units, and is that going to get us by? And so we stepped out in faith. God, my wife kept saying, don't go around the mountain, babe. I was like, all right. And so she always reminded me, that's why we're better together, right? We need that other person interceding. And we moved. Man, these cleans started coming in from nowhere. And we were able to, we were provided for. We never needed anything, right? We started serving. That's God's heart. Because he came to serve. I think sometimes we miss it. And we think, well, we're a part of a church, but God's calling us to serve. That's the heart of God. And some say, well, you know, I give big amounts of money. Yeah, you have it. What about service? It's a heart posture. So God really spoke that to me, and it's so, I think, real in this time for all of us. But he spoke it to me, and it just made sense. And as I started doing that, my wife was pregnant with Legend. And she was about to have the baby. And I'm like, Lord, I started a property management company, not a cleaning company. I don't want to do cleaning. She's about to have the baby. So she had the baby. So in August, she was going to have it 2 months later. She was 2 months from having Legend. And I'm like, Lord, I really don't want to clean. Is there any way? I don't know how to do property management. Like, I know how to do it, but I never knew how to do the administration part of it. I knew how to do the work. And I'm like, I just pray that something opens up. I got 2 calls in 2 weeks. And these 2 complexes said, hey, we want to hire you. And it was the same start date. And I was able to put my notice in and quit the cleans, right? Put a notice in and say, oh, we're not going to clean anymore. And that paved the way. And we're still able to have this business during the COVID, which is another thing that he's foreseen. In the cleaning, we wouldn't have been, it would have got shut down. So see how God works, is he worked it out to where now, and then I'm like, Lord, I don't even know what to charge. I don't know what to charge these people. And so in prayer, I said, Lord, give me a number amount. Give me something. I'm going in this meeting, and they're going to want a number amount. And no joke, both of them, I went in through prayer, and I went into the meeting, and I said, this is the number. And they said, that's perfect. That's exactly what we wanted to pay someone. Both places. That's only God. You know, and some like are sitting here today like, man, I want to testify. I was just like that. I said, Lord, I wanted to encounter you like this. That's cool, but I've never seen you like this. And it's through relationship. It's through prayer that we know our Father and get to hear his voice and learn to hear his voice. And then others we don't follow because we know his voice. Right now, it's like, with the anxiety and the fear going around, I just want to encourage you, like, it might be your weak time, but God is refining you to prepare you for what's to come. He doesn't leave you the same. Man, did I ever think I'd be up here? Did I want to? Heck no. When he asked me every time, I did not want to do it. Believe me. And I tell my wife, pray for me. It's tough. And a lot of times when I pray, it's not about me. And I just, Lord, I pray that you would help me speak what you want to speak. I don't want to speak stupid stuff. I'm a mere human. I want to speak what the Holy Spirit's saying. right? Because that's what brings breakthrough. I don't want to be a fake Christian where I'm just reading off script, yeah. Right? So anyway, that's a little of my story. And I just want to be real because I think there's some people, you know, I'm sure before they've told me this, man, I thought you were just ignoring me. Sometimes I get in a, God's still working on me, right? And so we all go through this journey and process that God refines us because he knows, like, hey, he has to go through this to be, and he doesn't want to give us too soon because then it'll ruin us, right? So we have to submit to the process. And I just want to encourage you, if you're going through stuff and it's uncomfortable, don't quit. This morning, I wanted to say no. Like, I have nothing. I have nothing to say. And I got in my prayer room this morning before church, and I just started praying, like, Lord, I don't want to speak my words. But Lord, let it be power. Let it touch people. Because this is what we're facing, right? Yeah. Thank you. That's awesome. Yeah, this is such a help, man, to flow, man, right? Because it's like sometimes I'm like sitting up here, and I'm like planking, dude, right? No? Plank preacher, dude. Now, I thank you guys for, you know, I know, but God's going to do a work in you. I mean, if that's what you struggle with, man, at the end, Richard, we'll just, you know, lead us into prayer, man. Let's call us higher. Like, faith, this is building faith in this room right now. Like, serious, this is how miracles happen. Through building the faith, through what he has done. Not what I've done. Shoot. Who am I? God's good. We're honored to have Rich and Grace and their family here. Thank you for coming. God just spoke to him, and he's putting the pieces together, guys. And pray for Mike. He has an earache. I forgot to say that, but yeah, Lord, we ask that you would completely heal Mike right now, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for him as a leader. We thank you for what you're doing in his life and through his family and through this region, and we just command your healing power in Jesus' name. Richard Lawson, thank you. A friend, I call him Brother Teresa because he's walking love.
Lord bless this man. Thank you for the courage. Thank you for the confidence. Thank you for the words. Yeah. Thank you for the spirit that you fill him with. Thank you, Father, that we get to be blessed by what you did in him. We love you, Jesus.
Come on.
This morning's yours. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Good morning. Well, my name is Richard Lawson. I have a wife and three kids in the back. We just moved up here 3 weeks and one day ago. Yeah, smoky. That's all right. The Lord is so good. And you know, we passed through in 2016. We came through Crowley Lake through an invitation from Lauren Dowler. And I sat in the morning. The Lord would just wake me up before the sunrise. And I would sit and I'd watch the sunrise from the parsonage property.
Yeah.
And I would just, I'll use a 70s where I would just trip out. Oh, Lord. Oh, I want to live here. Okay, good. Thank you. I'm rusty with the mic stuff. I'd watch that sunrise and I would just think, wow, Lord, I'd love to live here. I'd love to live here. So touching back on some of the journey, and I just want to first bless you for the ministry you guys are doing in Mexico. It takes so much courage to step out. It really does. Comfort is so comfortable. Reclining couches are hard to get out of. Years ago, the Lord did the same thing, and he rocked me from comfort, and he took me out of my reclining couch, so to speak, and said, I'm sending you to Indonesia to work with my kids. And I said, rad. There's waves in Indonesia. Cool. And I went. But I got rid of everything, like what you were saying. And I didn't have much, but everything that I had accumulated and amassed, you know, what did I need 30 pairs of pants for? What did I need 30 pairs of shoes for? You know, the stuff that we just accumulate over time. The Lord just did a change in my heart where it was just, here, let's give it away. And Lauren Dowler was part of the journey at that season too, where we were involved in this ministry. It was a potluck homeless ministry because it was illegal to feed the homeless, but it was legal to have a potluck with them. So all these clothes and all this stuff that I didn't need anymore, I'd start meeting with these guys and, hey, that's a cool shirt, dude. Hey, I know those pants. Hey, great shoes. But there was a freedom and surrender. And I came to find out later just the richness of what surrender can bring. We're called to live a life by faith. This is going to be a hard one to say, but you know it. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live is by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I surrender to that, Lord. I want that. I want you. And I want to walk with you where you lead. I'll go to Indonesia. I don't need to bring a surfboard, but I will unless you say no. And I left the week before I left on a one-way ticket. The Lord had just showed me I didn't need the savings. I didn't need a credit card. I didn't even need to start fishing for money from people. He showed me, you can give your car away to this guy named Joe. Hey, all right. Hey, Joe, let's go get breakfast. Hey, why don't you come by on Sunday and pick up this car? It's yours. What? Joe gets saved. And then his three kids come to know Jesus too because of a car. How goofy. I leave on January 25th, 2011. And I had $0 in my checking account. I had $0 in my savings account. I had no more credit cards. I had $15 in my pocket. I had a ride to the airport. And I had a really big Jesus. And I took off. And I stopped in Korea, and they had this day spa place where you can go take a shower, sit in the sauna and stuff. And after a long flight, I'm like, it's $15. Yeah, I got $15. I'm going in. They had snacks too, so I was covered. Then I land in Indonesia. I walked to the orphanage where I ended up living and serving, just like what you were saying too. You just jump on in, and you're jumping into the thick of it when you're working with a bunch of wild kids with no diapers. Like, no, not yet, not there. And then you have the gamut to teenagers, like, no, don't smoke that. Don't go out with that guy. That was a wild adventure. But the house mom at one point, after about a week of being in the orphanage, she said, hey, one of the kids, which I know, she was just in the hospital, we need to pay the medical bill. I don't have the extra money. Do you? Sure. So I walk out of the orphanage and I have my wallet my ATM card. And I walk about a quarter mile to the nearest ATM. And I'm just like, you got this. You got this. You got this. You know, these are your kids. And I go to the ATM and I put the card in and I push the amount that we need and it comes out. Cool. And I walk back like, whoa, Lord, this is awesome. And then I get to the orphanage, I give her the money, but then I go and grab my laptop and I go to the KFC a quarter mile the other way. They had Wi-Fi. Where did that money come from? And I look on the bank and there was a random cash deposit. Who puts cash randomly in your bank account? Who has your bank account number to do that? Who put $75.23 in your bank account? You know, what a random number. But it was there. And it covered the $5 ATM fee. And it provided the exact amount of money that she needed. whoa, Lord, that was rad. Okay, the kids want to have an ice cream party. I'll buy the ice cream. And I go to the store. You can use my card. Come back with the ice cream. Sure enough, there was more money in the bank. Whoa, Lord, this is cool. Wow. You know what ATM cards are, otherwise I'd take it out and show you. But I started calling it the Jesus ATM. Every time there was a need, every time I knocked on the door of the all-sufficient one. Papa, you know me. You know my position, and I know yours. Not only are those cows yours, but so are all those hills. You're good. As you bless me, you want to bless your kids. Whoa. So, everything gets sorted out. Everything gets taken care of. The Lord provides for everything. And then, friends start getting married here in the U.S. Oh, Lord, I'd like to go back to a wedding. But if you want me to go, you need to provide the $1,500 because I don't have it. Okay, guess what? $1,534 shows up in my bank. Oh, what? Lord, you're so crazy. Why don't you round up or round down? What's with the random numbers? But he always provided exactly what was needed. Coming back, I didn't have a car, but I wasn't going to ask anybody. Yet the Lord meets us when we need him. When we have a need and we trust him and surrender all those needs to him. Say, Lord, I have an ability and I have a strength to go and procure a car. But instead, I surrender that to you. All of my strength, I give it to you. My ability, I don't want anymore. I just want yours. So he did it. So now we're driving our 14th free car. And you know what? I'd get a car. I'd come back. So this started happening. I'd go back and forth from here to Indonesia. And next thing you know, the Lord says, hey, I'm sending you to Haiti and I'm sending you to Burma. I'm sending you to Africa. I'm sending you to South America. I'm sending you to Central America. I'm sending you to the Middle East. I'm sending you to Central Asia. I'm sending you throughout Asia. Well, whatever. I got $6. I'm sitting here in Malaysia. I'm hungry. I'm going to spend the last $6 I have on a pizza. Go to sleep in the free Hilton room that you gave me for the night. Wow. You'll provide the ticket to Africa tomorrow, to Uganda. I wake up the next day, and there it was. Hey, on my phone. Hey, Richard, the Lord put you on my heart. I think you need a flight. Here's $1,350. Oh, Lord. The flight was $1,345. That's happened over 350 times. Nation to nation to nation, never asking a person, just asking our all-sufficient God that we can trust, that we can surrender to, the one who knows the entirety of our lives and holds it in the span of his hand, as David said. He knows exactly what we need and when we need it. We can even surrender our own ability, like I said, to procure, to make those things happen. We can trust him. You can trust him. You can trust him with the needs for your family, with the needs for your children, with the needs for your grandchildren. You can trust him. You just keep knocking on that door. And you know that passage? I think we were talking about it. Where the man has guests that come to his house late at night. I think it's Luke 11. Or, and he says, goes to his neighbor, hey, I've got guests, but I don't have any bread. Can you give me some bread? Go away. We're sleeping. And my kids are already in bed. But he just keeps pounding on that door. The persistence. And Jesus says right after that in those cool red letters. He says, so if any of you lacks, ask. Oh. You can ask. I know the Lord loves a praying mom. My mom was a praying mom. I was a mess. And then the Lord answered her prayers and drew me in. And I've seen the Lord do that with others. Praying moms. You ladies are praying moms, right? The Lord's going to hear what you're asking him. And you keep asking. And you don't have to knock timidly. You can knock boldly. And if you need the breakthrough in your career or in your finances to get just pass the debt? You can pound on that door and ask him. He's all sufficient. There's no limit to his goodness. And I got to see that in a small portion of life. That you can provide flights? Wow. You can provide cars? Wow. That's just stuff. But he cares about the deeper things. He provides life. He provides peace. He provides hope. He brings the healing. So ask. So touching back on to Mexico with love. I was a missionary. And people, I started to see people would a lot of times give to what we were doing. But people wouldn't give to the missionary. They would give to the cause. And so it was fine. God was faithful. I'd just sit there and I'd have like 2 cents rubbing them together. Well, Lord, we can do this. But okay, I don't have anything. But what a blessing it is sometimes when there would be that extra provision. It was oh, thanks, Lord. You cared. I did need new shoes. So whatever the Lord puts on your guys' heart too for Barbara? Yeah. Deborah. Sorry. Deborah. To bless Deborah. That's cool. It is like totally crazy surrendering everything to go outside your comfort zone just to go and share the kingdom and build the kingdom. It's fun. We get the stories. We get to walk on water. And we get to tell you that we could walk on water. But our job too is to call you out to join us in walking on water. And we get to share, like Acts says, Acts 4, everything that they had, they laid at the apostles' feet so that none of them had any lack. And all that they had, they shared. So that's what we get to do as a body and as a kingdom. So I'll close and kind of wrap up with this. We're here now in Crowley because in the beginning of June, my wife kept saying, we should move here, we should move here, we should move here. So while we were visiting the Father Heart Lodge, we got on the floor with our friends who were also in the back visiting us again. Got on the floor on a Saturday and prayed, Lord, this is cool. We'd love to live here, but we follow you, whatever you want. And then the next day, Mike made the offer. Pastor Mike said, hey, why don't you guys come and live here? Come stay at the Father's Heart Lodge. Come be a part of the church. Come help out with the school. Well, I don't know. We're going to do that? Okay. Now we're here. So we're a part of this family. For however long God has us, or forever how long, however long God has you here, we just want to get to know you guys. We want to fellowship with you. And we want to spur each other on. We got a great race to run in this faith. And we get to push each other into that beautiful and rich position of surrender. To trust that he'll take care of all of our needs by the riches of his glory. In Christ Jesus. Amen. So, can I pray?
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for your faithfulness. You never fail. You never fail. You never fail. And you're not going to start now. You're not going to choose Jack to fail on. You're not going to choose Deborah to fail on. You're not going to choose Ron to fail on. You're not going to choose Stephen to fail on. You're not going to choose Dan and Carly to fail on or Randy to fail on. Lord, you're so faithful. You're going to meet every need that they have, and you hear when they cry out to you. So, Father, I ask that you would bless and pour out an extra measure of favor into their lives, that you would open up the door to see the breakthrough happen in these things that they are petitioning you for. Thank you. Thank you that we can trust you. So increase our faith today. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. If this has stirred your faith, we're going to sing one more song here, and I just feel like God's calling us higher as a body, and maybe there's times where we've let fear speak louder than what God has said. And so I just want you to receive, because he's here. He wants you to know who he is. It's hard to know someone if you only see them one time a week. And I just believe he's making an invitation tonight, or today. Sorry. Come up higher. He said, I heard you. Now come learn my voice. It's a life changer. Saying, man, there's someone looking for a job. He's going to open the door. Lord, I thank you for greater faith. God, stir us up. Let us endure the process so that you get all the glory. Help us to boast in our weakness and be raw and real. Even though we're vulnerable, it's a good place to be, Lord. Because you work. Seal this on our heart this day, Father. Let us walk out of here new people. That we would spend more time with you. That we would learn your voice. And that you would captivate us where we couldn't go back to the counterfeit. If you just need prayer today and you like, man, I want that. Me and Rich will be up here to pray with you. Other than that, you guys are dismissed. And go changed. Go equipped to do the work of the ministry. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.